You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool! Pretty damn cool! Woo!
On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're as psyched as I am!
Sports Radio 550.
What's the guy's name?
Oh, that is Steve Ballmer.
Ballmer. That's what I thought. I wasn't sure. I wanted to ask, so thank you. You want to say it and be wrong, so I thought I'd just ask. That's gold right there is what that is. Guy should learn to control himself a little bit. A little tighter rein on his emotions. Speaking publicly where people can hear him. It's embarrassing. Just flip out like that. I don't know. What kind of example is that guy setting?
Yeah, what about the children?
What about the kids? Think about the kids. I mean, there's people riding around in their cars with kids.
No one's going to want to play there.
Some
now.
Guy just screaming on the radio for no reason. It's embarrassing. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Glad to have you along for the ride today. That's Sneaky Joe. I'm the Bulldog. You've been hearing from Kyle Powell with the updates as well this afternoon and into the early evening. We've spent I almost want to say an inordinate amount of time in that I don't know when the last time was that we did a show. And, you know, Mike's not here. But even by myself, I don't know when I've done a show that has been this focused on one subject. This is the way I think I used to do this all the time. But today has been fun. I've had a blast today. A lot of good calls. Good feedback on Twitter as well about Jadeveon Clowney and the merit. Or lack thereof, of making a trade for him. And then, what do we do if we have to pay him? It's been fun. I've really enjoyed this today. I hope it's been a good listen. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Let's dive right back in here in the 6 o'clock hour. James is first up this segment. Hi, James. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Bulldog?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
Couple things real quick. I feel like if you don't do it, spend the money now while Allen's on the rookie deal, when do you do it? Especially if he is good, because you won't have that money.
Right.
The second thing was this reminds me of the Chicago Bears last year,
mm-hmm.
where we'd be paying even less money to get a guy like, you know, less draft capital to get a guy like Clowney, and you'd end up being kind of like how the Bears were. You get this great defensive And I feel like we're like 1 year away from how the Bears were.
Yeah.
If we get Clowney, you're right there.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, I don't think and thank you for the call, James. I don't think that, you know, Clowney is Mac. I mean, Mac is at a just elite level. I think Clowney's close. I mean, Clowney's an excellent player. So, I think, you know, you have to be prepared to pay eventually, both financially and in the trade, if you keep him. And by that, I mean you structure the trade so that you're making Houston whole if you sign the player to a contract extension. You attach conditional draft picks to it. I really don't think Houston should expect at all to be able to max out on return immediately because of Clowney's status. Clowney, unlike Mac, is unable to negotiate a contract extension with the team that acquires him. So you are stuck there. You don't know. You have no certainty moving forward whether or not you can retain this player. Mac, of course, was traded from Oakland to Chicago and immediately signed a record-breaking defensive player contract. He was able to do that. He still had a year to go on his existing deal. He was not a free agent. And just the way it works in the NFL, there's a lot of rules and restrictions about franchise tags. And once you blow past the middle of July on a franchise tag without a new contract extension, then all you can do is play that season under the tag, and then you're a free agent again at the end of the year. You cannot even negotiate a new deal until the season is over. So because of that, I mean, I'll tell you, like a month ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago even, I thought probably Houston would not trade this player, and maybe they still won't. But there's a lot of talk, it seems, around the league about Clowney being traded. So if they're going to do it, they're not going to get in return everything that you deserve for a player as good as Clowney. So you attach conditional picks, and if I keep them, well, then I give you a first in 2020 or 2021 or a second or whatever. Whatever I got to do, I work that out, and I try to make them whole. And what I do in the meantime then is I've got Jadeveon Clowney on my team, and we take each other for a test drive. You know, it's possible the Bills bring this player in here, and despite employing a man who was the GM of the Houston Texans and was reportedly in favor of extending Clowney's contract while he was their GM, maybe I find out that I don't like this player or he doesn't like me, and I never give up those picks. And all I've done is trade whatever is fitting for 1 year of Jadeveon Clowney, and then I keep moving. If we all like each other and he likes it here, and you know, maybe he likes deers like Mario Williams did, I don't know, whatever, and he signs, then I send some stuff, and I think I gladly do that because I've got an excellent player that is smack dab in the middle of his prime. I mean, this is a top shelf player in the league. So I think it'd be a smart move to make. And, you know, the last thing I want to worry about is how to pay him. So there's, you know, Twitter has been largely, I'll just give you, I'm not going to like run through and read a bunch of them individually, but Mario's name has come up. You know, of course, it's natural. You're talking about a former number one overall. You're talking about a Houston Texan, and you're talking about a contract impasse. Now, Houston didn't even think enough of Mario to franchise him. They just let him go. And the Bills signed him, and at the time made him the highest paid defensive player in the league. And I know that it, you know, his first game was a letdown, that opener against the Jets that year, when he complained about the guy that was blocking him being mean. Remember that? Like, that was embarrassing. But Mario Williams was very good while he was a Bill. It did not end well. There was obviously friction with he and Rex, and it got sort of sloppy at the end. But Mario had some good moments here. The Bills didn't win anything while he was here, of course, but he was a good player.
And they were, like, leader in the – like, they were, their defensive line was always talked about how good it was when he was here. And they led the league in sacks the 1 year. He was double-digit sacks the first 3 years. As much as they paid him, even if it was overpaying, I'd have to think you got exactly out of that signing that you wanted to.
I think so. You didn't get team success. So, you know, that's, you know, well, it's Buffalo. You know, that's how it goes. The player was a good player. So, like, and so there's that part of the Mario Williams thing. And then there's just because they played for the same team and play a similar position and are at an impasse with the Houston Texans, they're not the same guy. I mean, it's just stop with that. It's not right. So, yeah, it doesn't mean you shouldn't. You know, I'm not saying your fear is invalid in any way. I don't think that comparison is necessarily fair. There's always risk when you acquire a player with the intention of paying him big money, or you ultimately pay him big money. There's always going to be a risk there. There's no way to avoid it. But you measure it. You do the best you can. And I think Clowney is a safe bet.
That's also a position where the reason I keep coming back around to liking this idea and maybe wanting to give up, even overpaying in a trade, is I just don't see how else, unless you're ready to make that, like, they could do that. They could draft a pass rusher in their first round pick next year, no problem. And that could be their answer to who's going to be their number one pass rusher going forward. But the key positions all around the team, I don't have answers to who the best player is there yet, like quarterback with Allen, middle linebacker, Edmonds. Mm-hmm. I think I pretty much know that Trey White's a lockdown corner. But past that, I've got young guys that I can be optimistic about, but I don't really know that they are going to lock down that position. Pass rusher, like who my number one franchise defensive end who's going to be getting to the quarterback for the next 5 years.
I don't
have a guy there at all that I can think in 3-4 years he's going to be doing that for me. I think the best two pass rushers on this team right now are Jerry Hughes, who's in his 30s, and Lorenzo Alexander, who doesn't even really play the position anymore. So
right.
I need to address that some way, somehow. And this would be an absolute way to do that for a guy who's still, what is he, 27? Which is, by the way, the exact age they got Mario Williams at.
All right. 803-0550-1-888-552-550. Buzz is next up. Hi, Buzz. You're on WGR. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call, Bulldog.
Sure.
With Clowney, I called in last night and talked to Joe. And I just don't like the player as much as a lot of people do, I think. Joe gave me a stat yesterday or after I called that he has, over the last 2 years, cumulative, as far as sacks goes, he is the 19th most sacks in the league over the last 2 years. That's not stellar. I mean, the guy's never had double-digit sacks. He has had injury problems, so he's been healthy, you know, the last few years. I would absolutely trade for him for 1 year if you can give him pennies on a dollar. I give a third or a fourth round pick for 1 year, absolutely. You tie in Secchi, sure, absolutely. But if there's no way I'm giving that guy 5 years, $110 million is what is estimated. That I just don't see the production from this guy. I really don't. And he has played with a good defense, J.J. Watt on the defensive line with him, eating up double teams, and he really hasn't produced that much. As a matter of fact, Jerry Hughes has about a better pressure rate than Clowney. You know, I don't know what Hughes is making now. Maybe you guys could look that up for me or whatever. Let me know. And I just don't think he's really all that, you know. So, but anyway, great discussion, though. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, appreciate the call. I mean, I think there's – what did you tweet out a little while ago about sacks?
He's got 18 and a half in the last 2 years, while the Bills – the three guys you would put at the top of the list for the Bills at that position now, Hughes – Shaq Lawson and Murphy have 22 and a half in the same time.
Yeah.
And they've played more than double the games.
Right, like 70-some games as opposed to whatever. Yeah.
So, yeah, and by the way, 19th, like, you know, right, that's not elite, but that's still pretty good, I would want to think. That's better than half the league's number one pass rusher.
But there's obviously, you hear about it all the time with Hughes. Like, if you're a Bills fan and you're big on Hughes, you're, I think, hanging on to the fact that he gets the positive grade for pressures, and Clowney also grades favorably in that area. So he hits a lot of spots for me, and you know he's a shortcut to a difference making player to throw into your defense. So, and you know you hear a lot. He plays on this great defense with J.J. Watt. Like, has Watt been healthy himself in how many years? I think last year he was relatively healthy, right? But prior to that, there were like serious injury problems there. And Clowney shined while Watt was injured. So, like, don't fall into the trap of, because, you know, I think it's a trap of, oh, well, he's with this other guy and this other guy's making him. I don't know that that really, I don't think that really is borne out. I don't know that washes. So I think there's value there. And, you know, as I've said here numerous times, the big thing to me is making the deal at a time where I can take advantage of the team making the deal. And the Houston Texans are right now, I'm going to go so far as to call them rudderless, but they don't have a GM. And the coach might be a little temperamental. And if they're just sort of fed up and want to be done with the situation, then whoever makes a deal with them, if Houston trades Clowney, I predict is going to do very well in that trade from a return standpoint, like what they have to give up because of the contractual status. So, like, you're buying low, and then, look, if it works and you end up deciding to pay him, then that's a bridge you cross, and then the compensation probably changes because of something you structured into the deal in the form of compensatory picks, okay, fine. But I think you can capitalize on dealing with this team right now.
Right, because what's their next step with him? I mean, if they don't want to pay him that contract he wanted when they were able to a couple months ago, or however long ago it was, like, what's their next step? They either he's going to show up probably, I would think, at some point. I don't think he's going to levy on Bellet and sit out the whole year.
Right.
So they're going to have him on that.
Although he could.
He could, but at some point they're going to have to make a decision, because then they'll have to franchise tag him and pay him even more than he'd be paid now. I think it's 120%, or they've got to give him that giant contract. So I might want to think that if they don't, especially if Bill O'Brien's the guy calling the shots now, if he didn't think that player was worth that already, then like I think he's at least a certain amount of good that you should think you want to keep him around long term. And if they haven't arrived at that conclusion yet, if they don't get there by the end of the year, well, then I think you're in a real bad spot, because then teams know that you're going to be trading him, because that cap hit, when you have to do it for the second year in a row,
yeah,
it's like almost $20 million, I think.
Right, but if you do it right and you wait through this year, whether he shows up or not, next year the window to have a team acquiring him do a contract extension
that
with him
opens
back up.
Right, that's right.
And that to me, that's a game changer for the trade. Like, you should expect to be able to do better, at least on the surface. Again, I think you would expect there to be, in any trade for this player, picks down the road if you reach a contract extension with him. By next year, this is what Houston probably should have done this year. They should have been more active and traded Clowney before the situation got to where he can only play under the franchise tag for this year, and then they would do much better in the trade. So I still think, like, if I were doing this show in Houston, I think I would be telling you to calm down, wait for the player to show up, ride him out this year and see what happens. And if we're still in a terrible place, the marriage isn't going to work, then trade him when you can reap return that is commensurate with the asset that I'm dealing. And that's something they could do after next season. But right now, I just don't think that they'll do well in the trade, which is why I want the Bills to call them, because I think I can take advantage of it. All right, we'll get more on what's going on in Houston and all around the league as well. Well, I don't exaggerate. We'll hit a couple of spots. Mike Tenier is a Bleacher Report NFL correspondent. He's coming up right after this. I'm the Bulldog. Mike has the day off. This is WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Name any word in less than a second. I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for three-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, rolling along on a Wednesday we go. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off today. Thanks for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Joining us right now on the West Her Hotline is NFL national lead writer for Bleacher Report, Mike Tenier. It's also the co-author of the Football Outsiders Almanac. Good. We just had Aaron Schatz on Friday, as a matter of fact. Mike, it's nice to talk to you again. I'm Chris. How's everything going?
Everything's going great, but if you hear my printer going in the background, rest assured that is not a fax sending any news about a Jadeveon Clowney trade, so don't get too excited about that.
Rats! Well, what are your thoughts on, I guess, multifaceted question here. Do you think he's going to be traded? Should he be traded? Like, should Houston trade him, and should the Bills be interested?
Okay, let's go through a lot to a degree. Will he be traded? I feel like that's very possible. A lot of people agree with that. Should he be traded? It's funny. I was looking for potential trade partners, and one of the questions I asked, well, who has a lot of 2020 cap space? Because one of the things you'll have to do after this franchise situation is you'll have to extend him. Who has the most cap space? Who can put a lot of money on the table for Jadeveon and have him happy beyond 2019? The answer was the Houston Texans, the team he plays for. They should be getting this done. They should not be trading him. They're in a playoff team. He's one of the top, 50, 100 players in the NFL. They should be keeping him there. Are the Bills interested? Yes. Is there any progress, any real progress? I've heard no. I've heard that there's not any significant progress beyond, like, some inquiries. A lot of teams are inquiring. I saw some joke tweet saying that, so far he's been rumored to already be traded to the Ravens, already traded to the Dolphins, already traded to the Bills, and already traded to the Knicks.
Right.
So that's the situation you're looking at right now.
Mike, how much do you know about why Houston doesn't want or didn't want to meet big contract demands? Like, why are they here? This is I think, at least a very good, if not great, player. They're a team that should contend for the playoffs, the division title, even. Whether they can climb past Kansas City and New England, I mean, we'll see, or even Indianapolis in their own division. But how did we get here with Jadeveon Clowney in the first place?
Now, there are some injuries in his background, and those could probably be sticking points in negotiations. That said, there haven't been a lot of negotiations. And one of the things I think Bills fans know is the Texans do not have a GM. Well, they have five GMs. Well, no, they don't have five GMs. They have one GM. It's Bill O'Brien, the head coach, and he got the two straight general managers kind of ousted from their positions and put together a committee of assistants who are supposed to be sharing the job. But really, these are guys who have to kind of work within the framework of what Bill O'Brien wants. And we know in the past that the Bill Parcellses of the world could do that, but Bill O'Brien is not Bill Parcells, and it's not 1993 or whenever Parcells did that. It's 2019. You have a team that's kind of been asleep at the switch with a lot of things. So you had a team that's suddenly going out and getting a running back in Duke Johnson and trading a third round pick, which is a lot for him. You have a team that really didn't solve its offensive line issue, so it went out and it got Ryan Khalil and paid too much for him. A lot of decisions like this, I think that there was just like a general miscommunication about Jadeveon Clowney. There wasn't a lot of forward thought about this. And sometimes when the head coach is making the decisions, he makes very short-sighted decisions, makes decisions coming off the field in the heat. And I think there's a lot of that has led to sort of unnecessary bad blood and an unnecessary stalling of negotiations for a very, very good football player.
One of the things that has always sort of made sense to me as far as the Bills' interest goes is the assertion, and I saw this shortly after Brian Gain was dismissed as their GM. Of course, he worked here in Buffalo under Brandon Bean prior to taking that job, and now is back here in a consulting-type role. I've seen it asserted and reported that Gain was very pro signing Clowney to an extension and O'Brien wasn't. So of course, with Gain being back here in the organization, the trail of breadcrumbs leads you to the Bills would make sense if they were interested in this player.
Yeah, and that means everybody's got everybody else's text message. Everybody can work a little more quickly. You don't need Brian Gain to be pro Jadeveon Clowney,
right,
though. I mean, a lot of GMs out there that are in the same place there and are going to make some of the same inquiries. So that's a little something. Again, there have been some inquiries there, but it doesn't add up to much in that there's going to be a lot of bidding. There's going to be a lot of offers, and not everybody knows who they're going to be talking to get these deals done, because it's not really clear what the organization chart looks like for actually making real decisions besides Bill O'Brien in Houston.
What's a reasonable return for Clowney at this point? Like, what can Houston expect? Because this player is only going to be yours for 1 year, presumably.
Yeah.
You don't know whether you can sign him to an extension. Maybe conditional picks are a part of it. But on the surface, like, it seems like you have an opportunity to buy low, which is appealing.
That's exactly it. And I think what the triumvirate in Houston is discovering is they're being lowballed right now. That if they're looking at this as some kind of blockbuster, you know, a lot of us started right away saying, hey, trade him to Washington for their disgruntled offensive lineman for Trent Williams.
Right.
Trade them straight up. Well, Trent Williams is an all-pro with a couple of years of contract under his belt. You have control of him for a couple of years. That's not a fair trade at all. So, you know, I think that you're going to be looking at a mid-round pick, or they're going to be looking for sort of a challenge trade for another guy who's got 1 year left. I haven't gone around the league and looked at guys with 1 year left, things like that. But that might be what Houston's max is right now in return for Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, and it's most likely offensive line, right? The Texans look like a pretty nice team. The quarterback's really good, DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. but you've got issues blocking, right?
Yeah, blocking is the number one, but it could also be a receiver because I've already seen the injuries. Katie Cody and those guys are already hurt there. So behind Hopkins, there's not a lot. And it could be draft compensation as well. Although, again, when you're a team that's competing, your team, I think they were 11-5 last year, and say, hey, we traded one of our best players for draft compensation. That's not good general managing decisions on the part of the organization, but that's kind of where they're at right now.
Right, which, again, circles you back to they don't have a general manager. That's yeah. that's a big part
of
what got them into the situation in the first place. We're talking with Mike Tenier. He is with Bleacher Report talking about Jadeveon Clowney and the Houston Texans. Setting that on the side there, not mm-hmm. assuming at all that the Bills will make this move for him, what are your thoughts on the Bills moving into 2019 here? We've got Sean McDermott in year three. We've got Josh Allen going into year two. They did load up with volume, if not necessarily quality. There's a lot of quantity as far as free agency goes. what do you think of this team moving into 2019, Mike?
And they needed a lot of quantity because they need a lot of people. And I think that they shored up a lot of things there. But, nationally, we look at, and you're going to hate your readers, listeners are going to hate hearing that the Bills and the Jets, we kind of put them in the same category. You got second year quarterback, you got some new pieces, and you guys are trying to rise up and do something against the Patriots who are ready to stomp on everybody like they do every single year. And most of us across the NFL are a little higher on Sam Darnold right now, or a lot higher on Sam Darnold than Josh Allen. Allen looked pretty good in that preseason opener, but there's a sense that Darnold's a little further along.
Mm-hmm.
You put that together, and a lot of us have put the Jets in the wild card picture around 9-7 or so, and we put the Bills somewhere in that where they've been for the last couple of years, that 7-9 category. So that's kind of my feeling right now. Like the defense, like a lot of the additions, feel like there's yet another year of building that has to get done there, and there's another year of kind of waiting to see if the Patriots were ever going to collapse and create more opportunities in that division.
Yeah, man, I think we could do a whole 20 minutes just talking about the Patriots and if they're ever going to collapse or not. Maybe we'll get to it. On Allen specifically, we know accuracy issues. I had Aaron on Friday, and he, every time we have him on, I our Twitter mentions get flooded with, who is this guy? Because, he's got his logarithms and his formulas, and it spits out a negative prediction on Josh Allen. Did you see progress last year from the first part of the season when he got thrown into the lineup and then was hurt and missed some time and then came back? It seemed like there was the offense changed and maybe his performance changed. Does that sound right to you?
His performance changed from absolutely unacceptable. The only reason it looked good is because it was compared to Peterman at the beginning. To something a little more competent late in the year, where you saw some evidence there besides wanting, that he was doing things as a quarterback. And that is significant. I'm not going to poo-poo that totally, but I know the Bills Mafia. I've kind of had them on my timeline,
sure.
too.
Yep.
And I know there was a sense, there was that four-touchdown game at the end of the season. That proved he's arrived. It was kind of a fluky game. Go back and look at it through with non-excited Homer fan eyes, and it's a different thing. I watched the preseason game. I saw a couple overthrows early. I was like, here we go again. Then I saw some crisper throws into traffic, some more of a progression of read type thing. So I may not be as negative as your average analytics guy. I may not be as negative as Aaron, who's a better than average analytics guy for a, right. by a long stretch. But there's still a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of sort of hope and finger crossing, and I hope fans are ready for that, because I think there's going to be more growing pains than some people are ready for.
I don't know about enough about the inner workings of the analytics world as it pertains to football, but like for me anyway, and I think for maybe a lot of our audience, Aaron is like the godfather of football analytics. Like I never really thought about it until we started talking about Football Outsiders and, and getting Aaron on the show on a regular basis. We're talking with Mike Tenier. He's a contributor to Football Outsiders as well, co-author of their Almanac, which is out now. He also works with Bleacher Report. How about what they did specifically at receiver? Cole Beasley, John Brown. What do you think of the, I'm going to say upgrades, because last year the receiving corps was maybe the worst in the league.
Yeah, that's it. I think those upgrades are significant. I think there was some progress late in the year as well. I think Foster showed some life. A guy, Zay Jones, I think a lot of us loved in a lot of ways coming out of school, and then his career went really sideways for a while. Looked like he was going to come around. So you put all that together, and you put good infrastructure in place for Josh Allen, because, you know, realistically you can say he didn't have a good target short middle of the field to dump the ball off and get yards after catch for. He has that now in Beasley. You know, you might not have had the speed, I guess, besides Foster, to get deep and get under some of those deep throws. Now you got Foster and Brown that provide some of that speed. And you can add to the offensive line as well, where some pieces were added there in free agency and in the draft, where it's like, okay, you're going to have a lot more stability on the offensive line. So you put it all together, and it's good for the development of your quarterback. Is it great? No. Is it a top five unit? No. Is it? Are they as good as the Jets even right now? And the Jets made some modest upgrades in receiver and running back. I'm not necessarily sure, but they were necessarily moves, and they're good moves, and it's going to take an offense that really went nowhere at times last year, and it's going to make it much more viable.
In the backfield, it looks kind of crowded with McCoy, Gore added, Yeldon added, Devin Singletary drafted in the third round. It's kind of too bad Houston made that move for Duke Johnson. We'd probably be trying to connect dots with LeSean McCoy being a trade chip to go to Houston. You know, he's obviously much older than Duke Johnson. What are your thoughts on the backfield? It feels to me like I doubt all four of those guys I mentioned are going to be here when the season begins. Maybe that'll be Yeldon who ends up being the odd man out. But, boy, a McCoy trade has made sense to me for a long time here.
Right, but I don't know what McCoy's trade value is. You know, maybe the Cowboys flinch as you get close to the season on Ezekiel Elliott, and they make a trade for LeSean. That's not a rumor. I'm just spitballing here. Singletary played real well in the preseason opener. I could see him right there kind of playing Yeldon out of the picture because you say, well, Yeldon will be the changeup guy. He's going to catch the short passes. He's going to be the quick option. Singletary's that guy. Then Yeldon probably isn't that guy because you don't keep a lot of guys there. You're going to bring Gore in. Gore's going to outwork everybody, you know, until he's 97 years old. He's going to be back there. So, I don't know where Shady fits in all of that. And it seems like Gore and Shady, to a great degree, kind of cancel each other out or do some of the same thing. But if it's those two veterans and Singletary as the quick guy who comes in and plays a lot of third downs and a lot of dump-off target things, you can see that making sense. It's fine cap-wise. There's not a cap reason where you have to let any of those guys go. And you've got two guys who can help Singletary develop, two of the, you know, especially Gore, one of the best role models you're going to have for a running back. So you can work with that.
We'll flip around and look at the defense real quick, and then I want to get to the division. I know you've already mentioned the Jets and the Patriots, and I said I wanted to save time, so I will. On defense, Ed Oliver drafted 9th overall in the middle of the defensive line. It seems like as camp has gone on, he's getting more and more time with the ones, and that's very encouraging. Tremaine Edmonds is still just 21 in the middle of that defense, and I've got Tre'Davious White at one corner. I think I've got a stud at all three levels of the defense. How good can they be back there?
It can be a very, very strong defense. It'd be a top, I think it was a top 10 defense in most metrics last year. It could be in that range, be top 5 this year. You know, it's funny, the Ed Oliver fan club of Bills Mafia is almost like the Josh Allen fan club, where he kind of had one maybe sort of kind of hurry in the game, and it went viral for like 3 days after.
Right.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be a heck of a player. He's going to be in the ones. He's going to be in that range. And you're right. You have, like you can say, a stud at every position. You have studs up the middle, defensive tackle, and at linebacker at this point. And then you have studs on the edge at cornerback, certainly with Tre'Davious White, some of the other guys who are out there. That's a good combination overall. And that's going to give you the defense what it needs to be. Stout up the middle up front, so that the edge rushers, getting single coverage. But then in the back, you need those cornerbacks, and I think that's the key to success. That's something that the Bills can hang their hat on.
I'll bet a lot of our audience knows the clip you're talking about from Thursday's game, where Oliver pushed Quentin Nelson back in the pocket, but effectively, Nelson did his job. He kept his quarterback clean. He got got pushed back, but you don't win anything for pushing someone back. You need to get to the quarterback. Right. That's the object, right?
Right, right. It was a little over-enthusiasm saying that this was something to play. He's a good player. He'll be fine. Calm down, guys.
Right, right. We'll hit a timeout and get you more with Mike Tenier of Bleacher Report right after this on WGR. Mike Tenier, Bleacher Report, is on the Wester Hotline for just a couple of more minutes here with me on WGR. So you mentioned the Jets, and, you know, Darnold, yes, was more highly touted, more of a finished product, and it makes sense to me that objective observers would have him pegged or feel more confidence in him going into year two than they do in Josh Allen. The thing I'm wondering about is, you know, you talk about stability there. You had Gase sort of wedge out the GM after the draft was over and after free agency. Like, it was kind of weird. I mean, they made spent big money and then, you know, jettison the guy. I wonder, like, Gase to me, you know, they had great success with Peyton Manning, and Miami was kind of messy. I don't know. Do you believe in him?
Yeah, I don't believe in him as his maybe necessarily outstanding coach. I think he'll put a pretty functional offense together with what they have there. And you talk about the stability. I'm worried about the stability long as well, because he's a guy who can wind up being used from here in Philly. But in the long term, I don't know what it'll be. In the short term, there's a place there. Right now, Jets fans are like throwing things at the radio right now. Their secondary is a mess besides Jamal Adams. Their cornerback situation's a wreck. They're grabbing guys off of kind of like the waiver wires to come and play offensive line. They're not a finished product. The Bills have a lot of things that they don't have right now. But one of the reasons why, and Aaron might have touched on this, why we're a little higher on the Jets is there's a scheduling discrepancy as well. They get the Bengals and they get some other weaker teams, whereas I think they get the Bengals and the Bills get the Browns or some combination like that, where there's a game or two along the way where the Jets just have an easy one and the Bills have a hard one. And that can make a big difference when teams are bunching around 8-8. That's the big difference between the wild card team and the team that looks like it had a step back or an unsuccessful year.
How about New England? Is it just a given that they will continue to lord over the division, if not the conference at this point? There seemed like, I don't remember if we talked to you late last year, maybe not, but there were some questions towards the end of the season about Brady, and maybe he answered those in the AFC Championship game, didn't really have to do much in the Super Bowl as far as, you know, piling up points and yards and whatnot. But, I mean, Father Time, right? I mean, the joke is Father Time's undefeated. I mean, Brady's really giving it a run.
Yeah, but the Patriots showed you that in the Super Bowl. Brady had a bad game early in the game. He throws an interception. He throws like one or two passes down the range. But the defense played phenomenal. And the special teams played phenomenal in the postseason. So you're like, the punts are going to the 3-yard line and getting down so that the Rams can't do anything. All these little things, the little advantages the Patriots get, and they use them to beat you. And I'm watching the preseason game. They won their preseason game like 37-3. And I think it was 20-0 at halftime. So it was when like the primary backups were out there. And, you know, guys that they're counting on go out there and they make these big plays. Guys who were on the bench for 2 or 3 years go out and they have 2 sacks. A guy named John Simon had an interception. Another guy, Rivers, had 2 sacks. These receivers you never heard of have 3 or 4 or 5 catches. That's how the Patriots get you. So, okay, Brady takes another step back and he doesn't go like where Peyton Manning went and has this miserable year, or even he does, and the Patriots can still get the 10-6, 11-5 because they have the coaching, because they have the infrastructure, and because you hate that word, the Patriots way. They've got that method of making sure that they're restocked and reloaded and have the depth to get through a long year.
How about out west? The Chargers and the Chiefs both look just like Super Bowl type contenders. Do you have a preference there? Is it right to put them in the same class?
And I think the Chiefs are a cut above. I think when you look right now at what Patrick Mahomes brings, he's one of those handful of guys in the league where you can almost put another win in place. You can always say this guy is going to take a game away from an opponent along the way. I love the Chargers. Obviously, Rivers is a heck of a player. They've got a lot of depth of talent. They've got a unique defense out there. But, you know, we talked about schedule a moment ago. It's another one of those years where if you look at the Chargers' schedule, you're like, how often are they on the East Coast? How often are they doing something crazy? I think they had one of their home games taken away from them because they're going to be in a Mexico game or a London game. I don't have it in front of me right now. All those little advantages add up for the Chiefs. They're disadvantages for the Chargers, and that could give the Chiefs a position to run away with that division.
What do you think happens with Melvin Gordon there?
No, he's the Chargers are not going to flinch. He's going to have to. He's either going to come in by the third preseason game, or he's going to have to risk a Le'Veon Bell situation. The Le'Veon Bell situation didn't work out that well for Le'Veon Bell, so I see Gordon coming back and playing.
And how about Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas?
That's different because everything's bigger and crazier in Dallas.
Right.
I still think that gets resolved, but the big issue there is the Dak Prescott contract. When you got a team debating between $30 million, $32 million, the $40 million number, which might not have been 100% accurate, but when you're dealing with that, you can't turn around and be flexible offering your running back a contract. That can make things last a while.
Are they a real contender, Dallas, do you think? Like, Philadelphia looks really strong, right, in that division. Like, is Dallas able to keep up with them, you think?
I don't see it on paper, but we keep talking schedule. And when you have the Giants losing a pair of games probably to both of the teams, Washington possibly losing a pair of games to both of those teams, you create this situation where both teams can go 4-0, or if they lose a game because you lose a game because it's a divisional opponent, that can create a situation where somebody who wasn't that good is suddenly 10-6 at the end of the year because they got a couple of gift wins. And the Cowboys could be that team. And again, you know, it's any given Sunday, other things could happen as well.
All right. He is Mike Tenier, NFL national lead writer at Bleacher Report, as well as the co-author of the Football Outsiders Almanac. You can go to footballoutsiders.com to find that almanac and buy it there. That's how it's best to do it. Mike, I appreciate the time very much, man. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
You got to take care. Enjoy your week.
All right, man. Mike Tenier, Bleacher Report, here on the West Her Hotline on WGR. We'll take a time out here. Sal Capaccio. All right, that's the end of the road for us. Stay tuned. Sneaky Joe, who knows what he's got up his sleeve. They call him Sneaky Joe, after all. Joe DiBiase in the nightcap, right after this on WG.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.